T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome into your Monday afternoon. It is great to have you here. Gianna, what do we got, 11 shopping days left until Christmas?
That's it.
I mean, get out there while you can. I'm going to have to get on that. I'm going to have to get on that. We were just talking about the barbecue pork kimchi burrito that has been dominating today's show, along with the Johnny Cueto signing.
That too.
We will talk more about the Warriors. We will certainly have an awful lot on the NFL this hour for you as well. Damon, that sounds like a pretty white person bastardization burrito. That's why it's being sold in San Francisco, specifically to white people. No, man, come on. It's fusion. And by the way, the guy who owns the place is Korean.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he put Korean barbecue into a burrito. Now, someone is arguing whether or not that's a burrito. When does a burrito cease being a burrito and it becomes a wrap?
That's a good point.
It's a very good point, I guess. So, I mean, we could probably spend the rest of the week debating all this, but we have other things to get to today. But since we are on a hot Latino kick.
Oh, is it time?
It's officially time. I'm not going to lie. I was waiting for the 5 o'clock. I know what you really want. Look, the Raiders had an amazing comeback. A game that they should not have won. They won it. They did it against Denver. They did it in Denver. There's plenty to talk about. We already had Jack Del Rio on. He was great. You'll get the Del replay coming up in an hour from now. We saw the 49ers officially reach the title of worst team in the NFL and biggest embarrassment in professional football. We have Pete Rose being kept at arm's length still by the new commissioner, Rob Manfred, who will not let him back in to reinstate him. I think that that is fantastic. I am happy. Guy here on Twitter says, Damon, can you please put the Niners in a burrito? Maybe that would make them better. Nah, that would actually break the...
Don't ruin the burrito.
That would break the... Would that be a wrap?
For sure.
Look at it this way. Their whole season should wrap up as fast as possible. And then you clean the kitchen, get rid of all the rats, and come on back with a new chef next year. But when it comes to giving our listeners what they want, we have a very special guest coming up in 10 minutes from right now. A guest that I'm guessing you've never even heard before on 95.7 The Game is going to join us in about 10 minutes from right now. Won't even tell you who he is.
That's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good. You're going to like it. If you like pitching, if you like the Giants, stay tuned. It's Jaime Moreno's world, and we're all living in it. Sure, the Carolina Panthers shut out the Falcons 38-0. They're now 13-0, but really, it all comes back to what did Jaime Moreno do behind the microphone? I'm even more interested than that than I am, like, what did Cam Newton do with the football? Will you please share with us now, Bouton Vixen, the greatest announcer living, Jaime Moreno, this weekend.
La va a recibir Kante de tiempo, se deshace del balón.
It's a new song. This is the best.
Damos San Russo. Escúchalos. Son los número uno.
My undying love.
I love it.
He is just the best. He's got a new song that he worked in a little bit of this week. We're going to have to do a little bit more research on that, find out a little bit more about that, break it down. We want to know the songs he's referencing
in
these calls.
Que todo el mundo aplauda, right?
Yes. Sure it is. The Falcons, by the way, 38-0. They're 13-0. They're the eighth team in the Super Bowl era since 1966 to start 13-0. Of the previous seven in the Super Bowl era, five reached the Super Bowl. Three of them went on to win it. All seven, of course, went to the playoffs. Duh. The Panthers have now won 17 straight regular season games dating back to last season. They have three games remaining, all of which will be against teams with at best a record of 6-7. By the way, we've got Monday Night Football underway now. It's getting underway
in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, sorry, I looked up and I saw New York. New York is involved. That is a New York Jet highlight. The New York Giants,
right? Giants and
are
Dolphins
involved tonight. Sorry. Thank you. Very dramatic, boy. That's good horn section they got there for that Monday Night Football intro. 888-957-9570. Blaine Gabbert was just sacked again during that pregnant pause while I was waiting to tell you what happened to Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert was probably sacked at the airport boarding the plane getting back to San Francisco. That was just awful, 49ers. I mean, just awful. No fewer than five big plays by Cleveland there in the first half. You have Johnny Football carving you up, making you just look like you're not even there. Even when they got a sack for a safety, there was a face mask. I mean, nothing went right the entire afternoon. Jack Tart got a little bit of a gift pick from Manziel, but that was immediately followed by a sack highlighting yet another three and out on the afternoon. At the half, the 49ers had picked up two first downs, were 0 for 6 on third down, gained total 48 total yards, 26 passing yards, five sacks they surrendered. The Raiders, who passed for negative 12 yards, actually had a better first half than the Niners. It wasn't what happened during the game that was really interesting. As a matter of fact, the Niners have rendered themselves the least interesting team in football. They're the worst team in the NFL. If you'd like to argue with me that they're only the 29th worst team in the NFL, you've already made my point. This is a team that was in the NFC title game 2 years ago. The fall from grace is now punctuated by that loss in Cleveland. You're just twiddling your thumbs until Jim Tomsula's fired. It ain't him. It ain't you, babe. I'll know the one I fall in love with when I meet her, and that ain't it. That is not it. That is not the right one. Jim Tomsula ain't it. If you believe you are a dope drinking the Kool-Aid that Jed York has served you. This is top to bottom incompetence, and the division was easy to see and identify after the game. The stuff that was coming out of that 49er locker room when it was said and done shows you they do not believe in their coach. They do not believe in the game plan. They do not believe in the direction. They do not play hard anymore. That was an embarrassment. Did Jed York tweet anything? Was he having fun yesterday? No fun for Jed? Back in his hometown, close to it anyways, Youngstown, Ohio. Bruce Feldman wrapped the day up perfectly on Twitter when he said, Jim Harbaugh coached the 49ers for 4 years, going 44-19. They are now just 10-19 combined in the year before and the year after he was there. The Yorks got one thing right. They ran it out of town, and now will be measured based on everything else. Like, you don't get to claim Jim Harbaugh anymore. You ran him out of town. So let us now pretend that you are almost oblivious of the 4 years of success that you had under him. So what the Yorks really are Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary. That's the Yorks. You're screwed. You're really screwed. Unbelievable incompetence, top to bottom. It is a joke. It is a disgrace. So, watching Niners finger point at each other, finger point at the coaching staff, losing their cool after that game, not very classy. Unless, of course, they're finger-pointing with pinkies, Gianna, and those pinkies up.
Pinkies up.
Finger-pointing with pinkies. That would be classy, I guess. Says here, Damon, that could be an old Mexican stripper song, Mesa, Mesa, Mesa. Do you know any part of that?
Climax, Mesa que más aplauda. Yeah, that's
okay. It says it comes from Za Za Za, maybe?
Yeah, it's a continuation of the lyrics.
Ah.
Javier Martinez and Juan tweeted.
Yeah. Báilale, báilale. Las panteras le ponen 6 puntos más al marcador.
Here's where we are with the 49ers, though. If you told me that for the rest of this football season, I can do segments on the Niners or just do interviews with Jaime Moreno, we are booking Jaime Moreno 5 days a week on this show. I've said everything I said about the Niners. I said it months ago before it started. I'm right. They're wrong. End of story. It's ridiculous.
There's just nothing to play for anymore.
It is the worst coaching decision in the history of coaching decisions. That's what they've made. That's what they've done. They sold it to you proudly as if they knew more about it than you did, than anyone did. They have proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that they are incapable of owning a team that has any sort of gravitas to it. It's an illusion. Everything about the Niners is an illusion. Come on down. Go to the greatest stadium you've ever seen. Complete illusion. How about this for an illusion? They think they're in San Francisco. That's the greatest illusion there is. Santa Clarence. The 4-9 Santa Clarence. Nice job. Meanwhile, you've got Khalil Mack throwing down one of the great defensive performances we've ever seen by one player on a football field. Sacking Brock Osweiler 5 times. Credited with 2 sacks in each of his 2 previous games, he becomes only the 5th player to record as many as 9 sacks over a span of 3 weeks. Here are the others listed chronologically. Here are the list. Here's the list of pass rushers that Khalil Mack just did something like. You tell me if this is a good list to be on. Richard Dent, Reggie White, Derek Thomas, Alden Smith. That's the list. That's a good list. It was a key to winning that game, obviously. Only 126 yards of offense, and you win in Denver. Get out of here. If you would have said before that game started, today, Mack is going to get 5 sacks, but they're only going to have 126 yards of offense. Did the Raiders win or lose that game? I would have bet every penny I would have made, ever made, will make on no way they lose under those scenarios. Even with the 5 sacks. You tell me they're going to win in Denver with 126 yards of offense? Jack Del Rio sounded like we were high, right? He even said so. So that is 2 huge things that happened over the weekend. We got a Heisman talk about too over the weekend. We'll get to that in a second, but big local news today is that the Giants officially got some opening day starters to choose from when it comes to looking up and down their pitching staff. Johnny Cueto, a 6-year, $130 million contract, $46 million over the first 2 years, guaranteed to him, and he can opt out after that. You don't want to give a player an opt-out after 2 years because all it means is if he's doing well, he's going to leave you and take his talent elsewhere. But if he's bad, you're on the rope for $130 million. I think it's nobody's deal looks good in the 4th or 5th or 6th year anymore. Nobody's does. It's just the way baseball works these days. But here's what the Giants got now. They got Cueto, Kane, Samardzija, Peavy, and a guy named Madison Bumgarner, who at $9.75 million is the greatest value in sports, not named Steph Curry. Samardzija was an opening day starter last year. Cueto was an opening day starter last year. Obviously, Mad Bum was. Kane has been. The Giants got 4 guys that have started on opening day now in their rotation. It's a good deal. It might not be 4 or 5 years from now. Looking to win a title next year, it's a good deal. I told you that we were going to have a special guest here on the show today. Mike Kruko joining us, talk a little Giants baseball on the Damon Bruce Show. Mike, really appreciate it. How you doing, man?
Good, D. How you been?
I've been well. I've been really good. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Great. Everything's good.
Beautiful.
Exciting news around our house today with Johnny Cueto going to put a Giants uniform on. I think that's pretty cool.
It really is. And, you know, here is someone that, when it's all said and done, could prove to be one of the better signings of this offseason. We've seen wild dollars thrown around at Greinke, and Cueto almost comes in at a bargain price here. I like it. What do you like about him as a pitcher?
Well, that is what I like about him. He's a pitcher, and he doesn't have to have his great stuff to keep you in a ball game. He can match up against any ace. I think he reads hitters and swing types as good as anybody. I mean, he's entertaining. I mean, he really is the contemporary version of Luis Tiant, with all the different types of motions he can give you, and all the different arm angles he can throw out of, and he can still paint both sides of the plate. I mean, you know, he's just an entertaining guy, and I think it's fun to play behind because he throws strikes. And I think that was one big consideration that the Giants had this offseason as to who they went after to try and fill those spots in the rotation. They wanted guys that attack the strike zone. They just do not want to have Buster Posey sitting back behind the plate having 25 and 30 pitch innings consistently, which is what we've seen the last couple of years. And so these guys attack, and I like that about them. But overall, the one thing that Cueto impresses me with is his ability to pitch. He can mix speeds. He can mix location, movement. He gets all that. And I think he's one of the better readers of swing types in the game. As a pitcher, you read swing types. You apply different types of movement to combat that swing type. If you can stack a defense on one side of the field, he can pitch into it. He can do all those things. He has great command. And, you know, it's just going to get down to the one thing that haunts every big contract, and that's health. And hopefully he can stay healthy through the duration of this contract. But I think it's a great get.
Mike, what will be the bigger advantage from Cueto coming back to the National League, which he is much more familiar with, or getting 15, 16 starts at AT&T Park, which is much more pitcher-friendly than hurricane wind blowing in at Great America Ballpark in Cincinnati?
Well, exactly. I mean, Great America Ballpark in Cincinnati is one of the big bandboxes in all of baseball. It's not a place to pitch. And here's a guy who's had years there where he's had his ERA under 3. That's remarkable when you consider the venue. And the other consideration, we all know how good it is to pitch in AT&T, but the defense behind him, I mean, you put the ball in play on the ground, it's going to get caught. And I think he's going to benefit from that as well. But they had good defense in Cincinnati. Don't get me wrong. They had gold gloves across that infield with Votto and Frazier and
Phillips.
Oh, God, who's second baseman? Brandon Phillips.
Phillips.
Those guys could pick. So, yeah, but I think he's going to like the overall defense that the Giants can support with him playing behind him. And that combined with the venue in the yard, which is forgiving the balls that get hit, especially the right side of the field, especially from right-handers to the right side of the field, he can't help but love it there.
Mike Kruko joining us here on 95.7 The Game, of course, one of the play-by-play voices of the San Francisco Giants. And, Mike, this has been a wild offseason for pitching dollars being thrown around. You know, we saw Zach Greinke take the money to go to Arizona. Were you as surprised as I was that he didn't end up either on L.A. or San Francisso? It feels like that was a I'll-take-the-money-and-be-less-competitive choice. You know, then we saw the addition of Shelby Miller, and maybe that looks like a little more sensible now, but in the world of I like great pitchers accepting the challenge, I thought it was a little bit of a cop-out from Greinke. I thought he wanted a title.
Well, I think, you know, he feels that they have that ability in Arizona. They're a pretty good club. And we all said it last year, you know, they get a little pitching over here. This could be very interesting. And I think it has become interesting. I think the National League West, because of the quality of the pitching all through the division, perhaps with the exception of Colorado, I think it's going to be a fun and entertaining division to follow. Greinke, I was disappointed the Giants couldn't get him. I think we all anticipated there was going to be a bidding war between the Dodgers and the Giants. I did have a gut feeling that with a negotiation like this, you could always get a third party coming from out of the blue, which is basically what happened. But, I mean, it just tickled me that, you know, if the Giants couldn't get him, neither could the Dodgers, and I thought that was good. You know, ideally, I wish he would have gotten into the other league, but and the Giants are going to have to face them, you know, 5 or 6 times next year, which, you know, if you're going to win, you got to beat the best. But I think that they'll be fine. They'll stack up good arms going against them. Somebody brought up, I was watching MLB today, somebody brought up an interesting point about Greinke over in Arizona, I mean, he did take the ball 34 times. You're going to pay him major iron. And for about the same money, you're getting two arms in the Giants rotation with Cueto and Samardzija, and they're going to take the ball 68 times. I hadn't even thought of that slant, but there's, you know, I think bottom line, I think they're all great pitchers, Samardzija, Cueto, and, of course, Greinke. It's just a matter of who stays healthy.
Jeff Samardzija last year struggled after he's had a lot of success at the major league level, and the word was he may have been tipping his pitches. Mike, do you ever tip your pitches? Ever catch yourself?
1984. What's that?
You ever catch yourself or someone telling you, hey, it's a glove angle,
well, yeah,
it's a foot angle? What were you doing to tip your pitches?
I was moving my index finger. I had it on my glove, and I was wiggling my index finger, tipped the pitch, tipped the speed. Back then, I was throwing just one type of fastball, primarily a four-seamer, and I was tipping my fastball. You know, and I just couldn't understand how I couldn't get guys off balance. You know, I was throwing curveball sliders and whatnot, and their back leg was timed to it, and it just was that way all year. I didn't find out till late, you know, basically the year was over. I was getting ready for the next year, and an old catcher of mine, Tim Blackwell, who caught a bullpen, and I had had him in Chicago, and he looks at me and goes, you're tipping your pitch. You're waving your finger on a fastball. He saw it in 2 seconds.
Wow.
Nobody else saw it the whole year. And, you know, that's another thing, too, is when, you know, a lot of hitters on your own team, they don't really watch their own pitchers. They watch the opponents, but they don't watch their own pitchers. And sometimes it can escape a team. It can escape a coaching staff. And that's what happened to Samardzija. He was tipping. They couldn't find it. When they finally did, I mean, it's an easy correct. I mean, it's happened all through baseball. John Candelaria was a tip. You know, he used to, when he would bow, when he'd raise his arms with his glove in his hand above his head, he would get right to the bill of his cap, and on a breaking ball, he would go over his head in the fastball, and he would tip. Phil Niekro, he would tip, believe it or not. I mean, he wound up putting a metal piece in his glove, so he couldn't wiggle the glove, which is what his tip was. So
really?
It happens to just about everybody at some point. If you're lucky, it gets caught early. I wasn't. I basically had a whole year that was just a waste because I was tipping pitches. Very frustrating. And for Samardzija, it was frustrating last year, but the fact that he got his problem solved, you know, it should mean that next year he won't have to deal with that.
Oh, man, I would imagine that with all the video that they have now that they didn't have back when you were pitching, I mean, it's just got to be impossible to get away with even the slightest difference or variation without tipping these days. It's tough. I bet you that Bruce Bochy and Dave Righetti will help him fix whatever that was. It's kind of what they're fantastic at. Mike, let's wrap up with a guy who has worked hard, who has just exceeded any expectation you might have had for him, finally getting that congratulatory big contract for the first time. I love the Crawford deal. It's nice for him. It's good for the Giants, value in both directions. And boy, that kid earned it.
Well, he really has, and you know, he made it very clear that he didn't want to go anywhere else. I mean, you know, he was raised in the Bay Area. He was always a Giants fan. It was a dream come true for him to make the big leagues with the Giants, and then to be the type of player that he has been in his career as a Giant. It's just it's a feel good story, and he certainly is deserving. And you know, he's the whole package now. I mean, here's a guy that you look forward to seeing him come into a situation where there's men on base in a tie situation, or you're down by one or two runs. You just have a feeling that he's going to come through, and he did it a lot last year. And with him, you know, he's gotten better every year. He's gotten better offensively. He's gotten better with more power numbers. And I think the one thing about him offensively, and I know I'm going off into a tangent here, but he impressed me last year was how consistently he stayed on his back leg. You never see him slide the batter's box and lose his lower body in his swing. Not very often. And I thought the consistency he had through the entire season was remarkable. And I just am so glad to see him re-signed and awarded for what he has done.
You know, the Giants definitely need a lefty, or they need a left fielder, but I think they need somebody to replace what Jeremy Affeldt was, which is maybe one of the more important underappreciated pieces of all these title runs. Man, Affeldt's going to be tough for this team to replace.
Well, I don't know if you can replace him, D. I mean, you know, here's a guy that, you know, he pitched in every role in the bullpen. Here's a guy with low 90s sink from the left side. I mean, there was one year he was amongst the leaders in inducing double plays, and he was doing it out of the bullpen. And a lot of those double plays came against right-handed hitters. So you could bring him into an existing inning. You could throw him, you know, three innings, which you saw him do several times in playoff scenarios. Just invaluable. And then he had the ability to come in and strike out a lefty with that big curveball. I don't know. You've got Josh Osich, who I think is a very exciting young arm. But for us all to think that he could fill the shoes and do all of the things that that Appel did, I think is a little bit far-fetched. But, hey, it'll be a challenge. It'll be a challenge for Mark Gardner and Dave Rigetti. And, you know, they always seem to work it out. So it's just a matter of let's see how they're going to do it.
Croup, thanks so much for coming on, man. It was great talking to you. Really enjoyed your time this evening. Have a nice off season. We'll see you down in Scottsdale before too long, I'm sure of it. And all I can say is thanks for coming on. Add a bit.
Add a bit. Thanks, Dean, and thanks for having me. I'll see you soon.
Great to have you. Mike Kruko here on 95.7 The Game. Oh, that might piss some people off that I know, but good to talk to him. When we come on back, it'll be great to talk to you. 888-957-9570. Home of the Mike Kruko interview. It's the Dame and Bruce Show.
Es la 95.7. Damos and Bruce Show. Escúchalos. Son los número uno.
The Dame and Bruce Show. On 95.7 The Game. Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Monday Night Football tonight happening down in Miami, and I'll say this. The Dolphins uniforms have never sat well with me. I'm a little blue-green colorblind, and that aqua greeny-bluey will mess with me if I look at it too long. But I'd like to thank the Miami Dolphins for bringing back the old unis tonight.
It looks good.
Much better than the current, like, electric teal blue thing that they got going on with,
yep,
with like, souped-up missile dolphin.
I like the end zone.
Like, they got, yes, and they brought like, the checker pattern back.
That
very
Argyle.
Very art, not checker. It's not like Tennessee. It's more
Argyle.
Diamond,
yeah,
pattern.
More diamond.
And they even got, I think, I haven't seen a real close-up on a helmet yet, but do they have the old Dolphins helmet where the dolphin is wearing the M on the helmet?
Gotcha.
So I hope so.
Navy helmets, though, over the weekend.
Navy's helmets were awesome, and Army did a really cool helmet, too, going with different symbols and emblems. The Army-Navy game, by the way, really is, like, I even tweeted, God bless Army, God bless Navy, God bless the Army-Navy game. It is pure. Those kids singing fight songs, and they are wearing the Dolphins
they
helmets.
It's
the old Dolphins helmets. Thank God.
Woo.
But very nice. Army, Navy.
Yeah, it was cool.
Army, Navy, great. Old Dolphins helmets, better than new Dolphins helmets. And Dominican Sue, Mama Chewbacca, wrap them up, throw them down. Not worth the money. All right. 888-957-9570. The Warriors are 24-1. Not bad, though, right? Double overtime in Boston beat them as much as anything Milwaukee did. They had no legs early. They had less legs late. There is one good thing about the loss. It's a little bit of a slice of humble pie that some Warrior fans need. Do you remember? I mean, like, how dare you complain about 24-1? Danny was telling me that during the game, people were tweeting like, oh, Luke Walton needs to go. Like, Steve Kerr needs to get back before this whole thing goes off the rails. Like, you're an idiot.
24-1, really?
You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. If you're complaining about anything that happened in that Milwaukee game, you don't understand the physics of the body. You don't understand that double overtime pretty much sent that Milwaukee game right to the loss column automatically. And before you start complaining about 24-1, here you go. 97-98, you were 19-63. 98-99, you were 21-29. 99-2000, you're 19-63. 2000-2001, you're 17-65. Ooh. From 2001-2002, you were 21-61. From 2011-2012, in a locked out year, you were 23-43, and now here you are, and you're going to complain about 24-1? Woo! Not everybody's supposed to share their thoughts electronically. That's all I'm going to tell you. The beauty of the internet is we can all share our thoughts together. The worst thing about the internet is now any moron can share their thought in a big public space where all of us have to see it now. Luke Walton needs to go. You should be banned from watching another dribble of Warrior basketball.
Yeah.
You don't understand anything. You are a jackass. There's never going to be 24-0 again. Never. You'll never see 20. I mean, I'm telling you, never see that again in your whole life. This team's going to be welcomed back to Oracle Wednesday night like conquering heroes, like Caesar returning.
As they should be.
As they should. I want Wednesday night tip-off to be louder than tip-off game one this year. Here's your championship ring. You'll never celebrate 24-1 again. Ever. It's unbelievable. It's unprecedented. Do not pretend you've been up for so long you don't even remember where down is anymore. You're still the nouveau riche. You're not a Rockefeller. You're not a Vanderbilt. The Warriors are now like Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban of new rich NBA billionaire status.
My favorite shark.
San Jose Sharks?
No, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But, you know, if you're going there.
No, but so concludes the San Jose Sharks segment for the week, so I hope you enjoy that. Let's go to Mark in New Jersey. What's going on? Mark, how are you?
Hey, Damon. Hey, Gianna. How you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
Yesterday, I was kind of looking from this coaching staff for a signature win, and I think I got one, and they played very well in Denver. I think Del Rio really has this division sort of in his grasp now. He's, what, 2-2 in the division? And he very easily could be 4-0 in the division. So I really think he's got a good grasp on, like I said, on this division and everything.
Yeah,
so,
well, I mean, he's familiar with it. He coached in it before he got here. And I think he understands the strengths, the weaknesses of the division. And it's not perfect yet. And it won't be till 2017. Next year, growing pains. They'll be there still. But, boy, it's gotten so much better. And yesterday was a game that they lose 100 out of 100 times. They didn't. Dennis Allen never wins that game. All these parade of wrong Raider hires do not win that game. Del Rio did. And if you stick around in 20 minutes, we'll ask him about what he did at halftime when we get you to the Del replay coming up at 6 o'clock. If you didn't hear, Coach, stick around for this one. Not only was he in a good mood, he was kind of having a little bit of fun there.
He was.
And also being incredibly matter-of-fact Jack Del Rio. Damon, regarding the Warriors, I have to admit, I was getting really obnoxious with these wins. I really didn't want the streak to end. But, yeah, thank you. When we come on back, we will wrap up this hour with as many of your calls as we can fit into the hour. We do have, right around the corner, the Del replay. And then more of your calls. Oh, we'll get back to the fact that Johnny Cueto has signed a big deal with the Giants after Samardzija signs a big deal with the Giants. Now, will they turn their attention to left field, to the bullpen? That needs to happen, too. Oh, and let me squeeze in our news about the Oakland A's. We don't have any. And there's another A's offseason. In a nutshell, you're on the Damon Bruce Show.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. We're back with the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. It is fantastic to have you here. Thanks so much for stopping on by. Let's go ahead and get to these phone calls. You know, one of the questions that I'm being asked is, what do you think the next win streak is? I think it's long. I think it's significant. I think the Warriors will have multiple win streaks of double digits the rest of the way. They're going to win 10 games in a row here, and then they're going to win 10 more games in a row after a loss somewhere else. Let's go to Kurt in Oakland. What's going on, Kurt? How are you?
Hey, Damon. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I'm just laughing at these quote-unquote new fans for the Warriors where they claim that, you know, oh, one loss is just horrible.
Right.
And they don't understand what it's like to be a real Warriors fan and put up with all those 12-plus years of being under 20 games and hoping that you can beat the Lakers at least once out of four games and hoping that you can get the number one draft pick if it's a good number one draft pick, which in our case, we rarely got good ones. So it's just, they don't understand the concept of it.
Right. You know, a lot of these new Warrior fans showed up in game three of the Western Conference Finals last year and will tell you they've been long suffering. They don't know nothing about suffering.
Oh, the worst is when they booed Joe Lacob because he traded Monte Ellis to get Andrew Bogut.
No, anyone would have booed. They weren't even booing Joe Lacob, and that's not why they were booing. They were booing the symbolism of Warrior ownership failing them so many times. I don't even think that booing was Ellis or Bogut base. I think they were just booing the symbolism of incompetent ownership, which all Warrior fans were used to at that point in time.
And it's just funny because now we're the top dog, and you know, people are like, oh, my God, they're not going to do anything. But it's like, yeah, we're just trudging along, and everybody else, like Oklahoma City, can get all the credit on how great they look and how awesome they are. And we're just going to play our game, and we're going to get in there, and we're going to do what we do. And it's a beautiful day to be a Warrior fan, and it's been a long time coming, and I'm just happy it happened. And I'm happy that we're doing well, and now the Lakers are struggling, but you know, it comes with the territory. I never thought I'd see this day when this all happened.
Yeah,
it's so great.
Enjoy every minute of the ride, even the losses. You know, I mean, really. Soak in all of it, Kurt. Thank you so much for the call. I got Steven in Oakland. What's up, Steven?
Hey, you know, when looking at this record, if the Warriors just go on like 6-10-1 run, we got this record in the bag. And they can do that. They can go 10-1, 10-1, 10-1. Even if they go 10-2, we still got it. Also, looking at these Raiders, I'm talking about the special teams. I know it's Mac all day. You can make a Pac-Man out of them. But with the special teams, Marquette King had 5 coffin corner kicks to go with Max 5 sacks.
He had a huge day. Yeah,
honorable mention.
It's tough to come in here and get all romantic about the day your punter had, but boy, he really was good. He really was good.
Yeah, and you know, that just talks about the coaching staff because they made the changes from last week, and you see even Ross had a better return numbers. But also,
he also fumbled one, too. He did. He really let one go. I mean, look, they were driving me nuts. Bill Musgrave and Del Rio were driving me nuts with a 3rd-and-13 bubble screen. It didn't work. They tried it again. It didn't work. And then on the touchdown that went to Michael Rivera, what'd they do? They faked a bubble screen.
They had to.
They set it up. They set it up. They got me. They set it up.
Oh, you know what, Damon? One last thing. I just want to see a receiver in the flat on that 3rd-and-1. It's okay to make a pass on that play, but just have somebody in the flat who can actually catch it, you know, or so he can throw it out of bounds.
Thank you very much for the call, man. Yeah, I know the jumbo play where they got stuffed. Now, I mean, how about this? What about a quarterback sneak in that situation? Right? Wouldn't that work? Let's go to Diego. Calling from Sacramento. How are you, Diego?
I'm well. How you doing, Bruce?
Doing great.
All right. I just want to talk about how excited I am about the Giants' commitment to winning, about the Cueto and Samardzija signing. But in a perfect world, who would you want, Cespedes or Gordon in left field?
I'll take Gordon because he comes without the drama. He's not as injury-prone and, you know, guy coming off a title, I noticed that. Guy played in the World Series 2 years in a row. I respect that. It's good.
Who's younger?
Well, I don't know Cespedes' real age, and if you told me whatever it is, I'm going to put 2 more years on it anyways. That's just the way it is, man.
Well, anyways, yeah, I just want to say I'm excited about the Giants offseason so far, and, you know, it's an even year, so go Giants coming up.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you. Let's go to Larry Taxi. How are you, Larry? Let's try Walden in Antioch. Walden, what do you got?
Hey, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Warriors, the talk of the Warriors going to San Francisco. I know they're doing good, and way back then when they weren't doing as good as they were doing today. Now they're trying to move. I guess my point is now they're trying to move them to San Francisco now that they're champions.
No, actually, the motions of the wheels to San Francisco were set long before they won their championship. It's been the goal of the new ownership since they bought the team. That's why they had their ownership introductory press conference at the Ritz in San Francisco. And it's been something that's been in the works for a very long time, long before the title. The title certainly, though, allows it to happen with less opposition.
Okay, switching gears, I want to talk about the Raiders. Now, the Raiders, you know, this week they went through a boxing match. I mean, they took all kinds of punches from the Broncos the whole first half, and they pretty much persevered and punched back to the second quarter. We always talk about the missing links, like in the defensive back, the special teams. Whenever the defense doesn't show up, we point the finger at the coach or at the defensive coach, Ken Norton. Whenever the head coach make a bad call, we point the finger of Del Rio making a bad call. Now, my point to this whole thing is, what about the cornerback coaches? What about the special team coaches? What are they doing to make sure that their players, who they're coaching, is basically have everything that they need to succeed?
Well, there's never been a quarterback coach that won a Super Bowl. You know, at some point, you know, like, I mean, why aren't we complaining about the water boys and the water temperature? Are they using the right fabric softener in the laundry room? Like, I mean, eventually you got to say, well, whatever that guy's responsibility is, it's not that significant enough to make the 4-hour time allotment we have to come and complain about things together today. And there's nobody reporting on the progress of a quarterback and his quarterback's coach. It's not a story that you get given to you. It's not a talking point that the media is chasing down. So, you know, eventually you got to say, well, what are people interested in? No one's interested in how's a quarterback and the quarterback coach doing? No. Offensive coordinator, head coach. That's what matters. For example, how about this? What you should never do is promote a defensive line coach to be your head coach when he clearly doesn't know anything about anything that would be involved in the passing game or in defensive coverage. He basically doesn't know anything that hasn't had a hand in the dirt. And not only is that a fact, but in my entire time watching the San Francisco 49ers, I have never seen them get their asses kicked along the line of scrimmage quite like they got their asses kicked on Sunday. It was a disgrace. And what made it even worse, it was a Cleveland frickin' Browns. You just got beat by the JV team of the NFL. Classy. Jack Del Rio, the Del Replay, next.
The Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.